W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures. Looking at what we've learned so far in Ukraine conflict, Russia before, Russia now, Russia afterwards. George, a very good evening to you. The NATO leadership meeting in these next hours to discuss what is next. But right now, your measure of Russia and what we've learned of how it's fighting its war, of how it's conducting itself under the severe sanctions visited so far, with more to come, how the Russians are dealing with their diplomats being turned away. For example, Poland is now deporting or disembarking dozens of Russian diplomats. The world is changing for Russia. And I ask you bluntly, because your essay is most provocative, has Russia fallen down in the opinion of its allies and its adversaries? Have they fallen down a ladder of powers? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Russia has clearly fallen down. That a nation like Ukraine could resist them, let alone in part defeating them in some areas, was unthought of before. But this is due to a major misunderstanding of Russia. We have thought of Russia as it had been in the Cold War, as a major global power. It isn't. Its economy is second to South Korea. It is, for a country its size, a very small, weak economy. Now we also see that the military that we thought it had is incapable of carrying out a mission against a lesser country, poorly organized and unable to really resist, it would seem. And so when we look at great powers, we think of economics and we think of the military, and we have suddenly discovered that the Russians really don't have either. They do have nuclear weapons, which they keep muttering about. And that does make them different. But still, without committing national suicide, the Russians have shown that they're not that powerful, and it's amazing the contempt in which they're being held. Poland, which was terrified of them, just expelled their diplomats, and the Russians are actually making threats against Poland, and the Poles are quite confident they can defeat them. It's a new world.
NATO is moving large pieces of military equipment and deploying new battle groups all around the area. It would appear that NATO has awakened to a Russian threat that may or may not exist. But this action of NATO right now, does it continue to fear an invasion by Russia? Does it continue to fear that Russia will use the same excuse, Russian-speaking nationals in this part of your country, that we'll take back? Or is NATO responding to some other driver, George?
I think there's a deeper thing. Europe believed in the end of history. They believe with the end of the Soviet Union, the only important matters were economic. Military matters were a neurotic need of the United States, and they had transcended it. They discovered in Ukraine that history hadn't ended, that unexpectedly, out of nowhere, a war was launched, one that affected them. They are now thinking, in rational terms, of saying, what's the next war? So they're saying in their own minds, we were wrong. The idea that military power didn't matter was an illusion. And this in the long run is going to be a tremendous driver, because every time they'll speak of cutting defenses, somebody will say Ukraine. And that matters.
China, the embrace between the two leaders on the first day of the Olympics, it's almost as if this is a novel, George, you know, the set piece vision of Xi and Putin together. Is China now reconsidering, reorganizing itself? Is it going to reach like 1984 back and change history by rewriting those headlines?
It would like to, but is there. This is China also made this mistake about Russia. We all did. I did. We all thought that Russia was a tremendous counterweight to the United States. China wanted a counterweight to the United States, and it moved into this relationship for that reason. And it discovers that it's not only not a counterweight, but a liability.
So what we have now is China's got a new problem. There appears to be an alliance or a partnership or an arrangement of some kind that suggests that China's aiding Russia in providing a market for its energy that is now under sanction, or providing financing for some of its plans, perhaps even sending equipment. Is that something that threatens Europe, that China is now helping its little brother?
China is in the midst of a major economic crisis. Its real estate sector, which is 35% of its GDP, is no longer able to function. It has always been threatening Taiwan. It didn't take it because it couldn't. So China is also weaker than it appears. Now, is it sending wheat or food or oil to, you know, getting oil from Russia? Sure. I mean, it is also isolated, remember, under American sanctions, much lighter. So there is a kind of synergy between them. But the idea that was there in their minds that this alliance would become the center of the global system, dwarfing the Americans, dwarfing the Europeans, that obviously has evaporated. But at this point, China has little room to retreat. I do expect the Chinese to eventually reach out to the United States and try to reach an understanding.
Russia is said to be looking for reinforcements from other countries. You mentioned in your essay Syria and Belarus. There are different stories about this. That suggests, of course, that either Russia's running out of troops or is reconsidering its offensive. George, there's a proverb, the right way, the wrong way, the Russian way. Is this the Russian way of war, to just grind it out and exhaust the opponent? Is that what we're witnessing?
Well, that's what we're down to. There was a miss. We knew that Russia was cutting the size of its force. The World War II size force didn't work in contemporary warfare. Contemporary warfare is different, and they tried to create it. Well, they created that force. But what they found out was that it was insufficient because the modern weapons and stuff that would be used didn't work quite as well. So they wound up in a war without a reserve. A Polish intelligence guy that I know says to me, the Russians have committed 80% of their force. He may be optimistic, he may not, but they've committed a lot. And they're trying to get the reinforcements from Syria and other countries because they need them. They don't have Russian troops. Now, the idea that these troops will integrate into the Russian military, well, that's very hard to do. But it gives a sense of what the Russians are facing. They're quite serious about getting these people.
The commander of this invasion looks to be Vladimir Putin. Does Putin survive? Because history suggests that great commanders who fail do not survive. I'm thinking of Falkenhayn in the First War. I'm thinking of Hindenburg. The German example, Japanese example, does Putin survive?
I don't understand the political structure around him. We know, for example, that the head of intelligence for Ukraine has been put under arrest. I suspect that has partly to do with his failure and partly to do with a signal to the rest of the FSB, the intelligence service, to be careful. He certainly has to be weakened. This vision of his as this enormously powerful, insightful person, well, that doesn't outlive a military defeat like this. Even if the Russians finally succeed, it was an embarrassing exercise. I don't think they'll succeed. So I think there's a chance of him being overthrown, but I don't understand how that happens in Russia. I don't understand the weakness.
George Friedman is the chairman and the founder of Geopolitical Futures. I'm John Batchelor.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like... Wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.